Day 59. Shai slept poorly that night. She was certain that her preparations had been thorough, and yet now she had to wait, as if with a noose around her neck. It made her anxious. What if she'd misread the situation? She had made her notations in the book intentionally opaque, each of them a subtle indication of just how enormous this project was. The cramped writing, the numerous cross-references, the lists and lists of reminders to herself of things to do. Each of these would work together with the thick book as a whole to indicate that her work was mind-breakingly complex. It was a forgery, one of the most difficult types, a forgery that did not imitate a specific person or object. This was a forgery of tone. "Stay away," the tone of that book said. "You don't want to try to finish this. You want to let Shai continue to do the hard parts, because the work required to do it yourself would be enormous. And if you fail, it will be your head on the line." That book was one of the most subtle forgeries she'd ever created. Each word in it was true and yet a lie at the same time. Only a master forger might see through it, might notice how hard she was working to illustrate the danger and difficulty of the project. How skilled was Frava's forger? Would Shai be dead before morning? She didn't sleep. She wanted to, and she should have. Waiting out the hours, minutes, and seconds was excruciating. The thought of lying in bed asleep when they came for her, that was worse. Eventually, she got up and retrieved some accounts of Ashravan's life. The guards playing cards at her table gave her a glance. One even nodded with sympathy at her red eyes and tired posture. "Light too bright?" he asked, gesturing at the lamp. "No," Shai said. "Just a thought in my brain that won't get out." She spent the night in bed pouring herself into Ashravan's life. Frustrated to be lacking her notes, she got out a fresh sheet and began some new ones she'd add to her book when it returned, if it did. She felt that she finally understood why Ashravan had abandoned his youthful optimism. At least, she knew the factors that had combined to lead him down that path. Corruption was part of it, but not the main part. Again, lack of self-confidence contributed, but hadn't been the decisive factor. No, Ashravan's downfall had been life itself. Life in the palace. Life as part of an empire that clicked along like a clock. Everything worked. Oh, it didn't work as well as it might, but it did work. Challenging that took effort, and effort was sometimes hard to muster. He had lived a life of leisure. Ashravan hadn't been lazy, but it didn't require laziness to be swept up in the workings of imperial bureaucracy, to tell yourself that next month you'd go and demand that your changes be made. Over time, it had become easier and easier to float along the course of the great river that was the Rose Empire. In the end, he'd grown indulgent. He'd focused more on the beauty of his palace than on the lives of his subjects. He had allowed the arbiters to handle more and more government functions. Shai sighed. Even that description of him was too simplistic. It neglected to mention who the emperor had been and who he had become. A chronology of events that didn't speak of his temper, his fondness for debate, his eye for beauty, or his habit of writing terrible, terrible poetry and then expecting all who served him to tell him how wonderful it was. It also didn't speak of his arrogance, or his secret wish that he could have been something else. That was why he had gone back over his book again and again. Perhaps he had been looking for that branching point in his life, where he had stepped down the wrong path. He hadn't understood. There was rarely an obvious branching point in a person's life. People changed slowly, over time. You didn't take one step, then find yourself in a completely new location. You first took a little step off a path to avoid some rocks. For a while, You walked alongside the path, but then you wandered out a little way to step on softer soil. Then you stopped paying attention as you drifted farther and farther away. Finally, you found yourself in the wrong city, wondering why the signs on the roadway hadn't led you better. The door to her room opened. Shai bolted upright in her bed, nearly dropping her notes. They'd come for her. But no. It was morning already. Light trickled through the stained glass window, and the guards were standing up and stretching. The one who had opened the door was the blood sealer. He looked hungover again, and carried a stack of papers in his hand, as he often did. He's early this morning, Shai thought, checking her pocket watch. Why early today when he's late so often? The blood sealer cut her and stamped the door without a word, causing the pain to burn in Shai's arm. He hurried out of the room as if off to some appointment. Shai stared after him, then shook her head. A moment later, the door opened again and Frava entered. Oh, you're up, the woman said as the strikers saluted her. Frava set Shai's book down on the table with a thump. She seemed annoyed. The scribes are done. Get back to work. Frava left in a bustle. Shai leaned back in her bed, sighing in relief. Her ruse had worked. That should earn her a few more weeks.